This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecock, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders!
Pressure! And he just dives in! Soldier! 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 Soldier!
Here's J.C. Sherberg, Phil Mullinax, and Jamie Bradford.
All right, greetings and good Wednesday morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios. They are the preferred sign partners of your South Carolina Gamecocks, built by the Barn Dominium Company. The Barndo Co. is what they're called, and they're in four states. The Carolinas, they're in Georgia, and they're in Tennessee. If you got to go to the barndominiumco.com. If you're planning to move or build a house, that's where you want to go. I promise you. They're one of the nation's best builders for a reason. They've won all the awards. They can prove that. And they've got the best floor plans in the country. The barndominiumco.com. Always served by Chicken Cock Bourbon as well. We are almost to the weekend. Look on your shelf. If you're missing it, go to the Chief Sports app. You can type in your address, and whatever liquor store near you has it, you can go pick up a bottle. You will see in the upper left-hand corner today, the Golden Tones are here for 3 hours. We're all very blessed by that. Schubert,
full Monty.
The full Monty. Schubert is in. Mad Dog's mustache and that strange little goatee thing. He's here. And me, JP, JB, I'm here until 2 o'clock.
All present and accounted for.
2 o'clock as well.
All sorry, seven go. Facial hairs that I own.
We're all here. We got hoops, we got football, got a lot of strikeouts, but the Gamecocks win last night, a big time RPI victory over the Tar Heels, their sixth top 20 win of the season. South Carolina continues to be right in the thick of it when it comes to hosting in the postseason. So we got plenty to get to. John Calipari's official. He's headed to Bud Walton Arena in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Crazy, crazy stuff there. And he put out a four-minute video yesterday telling Kentucky it was time for a new voice. We'll ask Mike who he thinks that new voice may be, as a matter of fact. But with all that, good morning, boys.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, we'll get to baseball here in a minute. Carolina, Charlotte has been good to Gamecock baseball. I don't give a crap what anybody out there says. Your narrative's wrong. They win in Charlotte. And they did last night. But this Calipari thing being official now to Arkansas, how does that change the SEC? What do you think, Mike?
Well, the full answer to that question will come, I believe, in the next 48 hours when Kentucky makes their hire. And no, I don't know who that's going to be. Literally 60 seconds before we signed on air, Billy Donovan released a statement saying, "I'm very happy where I am in Chicago. I have no designs to leave for Kentucky and the Kentucky job." That would be the third time he would turn the job down if you're scoring at home. They keep barking up that Billy tree, and I don't blame them. Billy was an assistant under Patino in the glory days there, and he's a ridiculously good coach. You see what Florida basketball has been since Billy left, a shadow of itself. So they're likely going to swing and miss there. Swing and miss on Nate Oates. Swing and miss on Dan Hurley. This is Kentucky now. This yep. is the most prominent basketball program in the history of the sport. And this is where I remind people, not just on this show, but other shows that I'm on, that as fan bases, everybody lives in their bubble, and they always think, A, their job is great, and B, we can get anybody we want. All our AD has to do is call and offer him a boatload of money, and we'll get whoever. That doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way in football. Doesn't work that way in men's basketball. So if I had to make a guess, it would be Scott Drew based on a number of factors, but I don't know for certain. You know, they got oil money in Waco. That's a private school with a lot of money. That really comes down to, much like it did with a Musselman at Arkansas, are you happy in Waco? Is your family happy there? That's why Mus left. It wasn't because Arkansas couldn't win a bidding war, or we know he had success there, which is the other part of the answer to your question, Jamie. I think it's the Cal to Arkansas is so fascinating on so many levels, one of which being everywhere Cal's ever gone, he followed up a coach that failed, right? So he went in and saved the day, and the circus was in town, and he brought in all these one-and-done lottery pick recruits. And he's like a rock star. He was a rock star in Memphis. He was a rock star at UMass. He was a rock star at Kentucky in the early going.
Yep.
I don't know if the rock star for a 65-year-old that hasn't made it to the second weekend in March Madness since 2019, who follows a coach that made it to two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16 in short order. Musselman rescued Arkansas basketball.
Yeah.
That's on record. I don't know what Cal does. I mean, you got the Seth Greenbergs of the world. I like Seth a lot. I've worked with him a number of times, but him and Cal are tight, and he's on record saying Cal will get Arkansas to a Final Four within 3 years. Maybe. No, nobody knows that. That's just a throw it out there prediction. If he doesn't, I'll tell you what, Arkansas fans will be like, we just got Kentucky's leftovers, man. We got the car, a really nice car that we forgot to check under the hood, and the engine needs work, and the carburetor is shot, and if we don't have Gary Patterson of State Farm insuring us, we're going to go through a whole lot of crap like Mike did with Mercury. So you those questions remain in doubt, and I one thing is for certain, Kentucky's going to get a big time hire. No matter, sure. I don't know how many rejection letters they get, they're going to get a big time hire. And Cal to Arkansas is a big time hire. I mean, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that this is not a good hire or he can't do great things there. I think I think both programs needed a, both Kentucky needed a change and Cal needed a change. Arkansas didn't need a change. Mus was doing just fine. One bad year, shoot. All it takes is one bad portal class and you can have a bad year. Any coach can have that. But I think they both needed a change of scenery. So when you add it up, Arkansas getting Cal, Kentucky's about to get some very prominent coach, I believe. And then the rest of the SEC with Barnes and Beard and, you know, Lamont Paris doing his thing and you know, a finalist for National Coach of the Year in year two of his regime. Look, the SEC is in great shape, and I think overall, while it's weird and it's customary to see a blue blood coach, first they try to fire him, but they don't want to pay $33 million. Then he just leaves. Then they act like, oh yeah, this is great for everybody. Thank you. The whole thing is just incredible. But it's the drama we love in big-time college athletics and the drama we love in the SEC.
And it all started with the program that I think is going to be a fly in the ointment. You want to talk about throwing something on the table,
yeah,
and saying, look at it, it's SMU right now.
That's right.
The Ponies not only have bought their way to the ACC, they went and got Andy Edenfield and started this whole thing. Because if they hadn't made – you know what's interesting, Mike? There have been reports that Cal actually was pursuing Ohio State. There are some rumors about him and SMU. So, I mean, I think there's some plausibility maybe that we all weren't aware of that he was kind of looking around.
No doubt.
And no doubt. Man, SMU, but SMU started the whole thing, got the chain in motion.
They did.
Because had Musselman come back, there's no Arkansas. And Arkansas is probably the second best job. Maybe historically, it's the before Texas and Oklahoma come, it's probably the second best job. I mean, they've been to six Final Fours, they've won a national championship. When that thing's rolling, they have as good a fan support as anybody. You can make a strong argument behind Kentucky as a job. Now there's job mm-hmm. program team, right? As a program, I think they're upper third of the league. I think Musselman just had a bad group of apples this year for a number of reasons, enough to where I think it drove him back to the West Coast. However, I think this makes sense for Cal looking for a spot to land. At a place that's done it before. You're right, though. He's really taken over. I mean, for Gillespie was a disaster at Kentucky. I don't even remember who the coach at Memphis was. Was it Tubby Smith? No, it wasn't Tubby. That was after Cal.
That was after.
They
went from Finch. Know. Finch was the Finch. Guy that put him on probation. And
yeah.
But did
he
have
was back in Metro Conference days.
Time. Yeah.
I'd have to look it up. But
I'd have to look that up, too. Who was that?
Memphis was doing nothing. Yeah, Memphis was doing nothing. And so, you know, so there you go there. And, you know, UMass, they obviously got a spark from him and all that. So it is interesting. It is interesting. I do think, though, that with the disappointment of this year. Johnny Jones, that's right, Johnny Jones.
It went from Finch to Tick Price and Johnny Jones.
Yeah.
Is that the same Johnny Jones that ended up at LSU?
Yeah.
I think so.
Has to be.
It's got to be.
Johnny was there for one. So Finch was there 11 years. This is why it's easy to forget. He was there 11 years. They go on probation. Some guy named Tick Price.
Yep.
Just
came
kind
from
of
New
like,
Orleans.
Yeah, so he's just like, yeah, go ahead and, you know, take over this steaming pile of crap. Do what you can before we find a bigger name. And then somehow Johnny Jones is there for 1 year. I think Johnny went straight from there to North Texas where he had success before he got the LSU job. And then Cal takes over. And Cal was there for 9 years. And remember, like, Boogie Cousins and Derrick Rose, Boogie Cousins and John Wall. Derrick Rose did go to Memphis. Boogie Cousins and John Wall were slated to go to Memphis before Cal took the Kentucky job and flipped them. And Arkansas is thinking the same thing's going to happen because Cal does have the number one recruiting class on paper. And now it's a question of, can he convince all those kids? Remember what I told you about Kentucky being the best basketball program on the planet? I was just kidding, man. Pick Suey. Come to Fayetteville. You know, when you land at Northwest Arkansas Airport, and you take that 40-minute drive, as I like to call it, the John Cougar Mellencamp tour. You just drive through about 17 small towns and see a bunch of abandoned farms and cows and tractors and pickups on four cinder blocks. That's the true Mecca. It's not Rupp Arena. It's Fayetteville. And in all seriousness, what JC said is very true. It's a great job. It's a great program. Their fans truly love the game of basketball. I always make the distinction. There are fans that love basketball when their team is good. They don't know the game. They don't truly love the game. But if their team's doing well, they show up in droves. Then there are fans that just truly love the game, understand the game. Arkansas fits that bill. Arkansas fans truly do love basketball as they do love football. and they get behind it, and they'll get behind Cal. It'll like there's a 7 o'clock press conference today. They'll pack Bud Walton. The season tickets will be ridiculously priced, and they will sell out every game. It is going to be a circus, and some of that is good, and some of that is perhaps not so good. It's always good. Everything's good when you're winning. Everything's great when you're winning. Hey, Eddie Fogler was, when I first got to Columbia, Eddie Fogler was a friggin' rock star. It wasn't Brad Scott. Gamecock baseball was scuffling, and before Tanner turned it into a giant, Gamecock baseball was barely getting, you know, 1,500 fans to go to the Sarge for an SEC game. And women's basketball, forget it. It was all Eddie Fogler, and Eddie could have run for mayor and been the mayor of Columbia. He owned that town, but Eddie's personality combined with two disappointing first round losses as a 2-3 seed, that the party was over. Eddie was no longer the mayor. Eddie rubbed a ton of people the wrong way. He didn't get along with Mike McGee, and the rest is history. But Eddie was a rock star, much like Cal will be a rock star in Fayetteville when things are going well. If they have a couple of bad years and they don't win NCAA tournament games, they're going to say, wait a minute, we had Eric Musselman, and now we have a 65, 66, 67-year-old John Calipari in an era where whoever gets the most one-and-done players does not win national titles. See UConn, see Baylor, see Villanova, see Virginia. That ain't the path anymore. As we talked about yesterday, a great installment, I'll plug it, because Tom Luganville was outstanding on JC and Morgan yesterday. Check it out if you haven't already. But the analogy in football, it's still, if you're dominating the portal and recruiting, you're winning championships. It's pretty damn predictable. It ain't like that in basketball. Not anymore. Football, just the reason why it's the same programs, because the same programs dominate recruiting in the portal every year. But in basketball, it's a little more complex calculus on how that works. It's culture. It's player development. That's what Danny Hurley's doing. He's not going to have a bunch of lottery picks. He's got one. He got one. Villanova and all those titles with Jay Wright, how many lottery picks did they have? So it's a different key to the top in basketball than it is in football, which is why I've always maintained it would be easier for South Carolina to be a power in college basketball than it would be college football, believe it or not. Now, they might not be a power in either one anytime soon, but I think basketball would be an easier path.
I think basketball, too, is a tournament sport. I think there's a lot of mental toughness you have to survive the single elimination. I think that AAU, to a certain extent, has – I don't want to say – it's easy for older people to say younger people are soft. That's been happening since my grandparents, you know. You damn hippie, you're soft. You know, I mean, that's – it's easy to say that, but it is AAU. Like I said, Keith pointed this out to me one day. He's obviously coached basketball. He's like, you don't see guys lose AAU games and cry. Like if they lose a last-minute shot or if they lose in the championship of an AAU tournament, they just kind of sit there and shake hands and, oh, what's up, bro, you know, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I think that really false competitiveness bleeds over. And a lot of your one and dones, they're not winners, because they haven't learned how to win. You know, Danny Hurley's group, that's a bunch of winners because they understand the sacrifice you have to make to win. And older players get that. You know, like this year, South Carolina, you know, Talon Cooper, this was his last hurrah. I mean, maybe he gets on somewhere in Europe, maybe he doesn't. I'm with Mike. He kind of looked like the older guy at the gym, you know, the YMCA. Balling out, making plays, that means more to him than it does to a freshman at Kentucky that's got $1 million in the bank, that's about to be a multi-zillionaire because he's an NBA lottery pick. That more talented guy just doesn't want any. And when you're dealing it with a tournament sport where if within 40 minutes you're not better, I mean, you don't play up to your potential and the other team gets you and your season's over, yeah, it's easy to fall short. And I think Mike brings up a great point about Arkansas and their future success. Although I do wish them the best, I've always liked Cal. And I'd be excited, you know, if I were an Arkansas fan. But I do think there's some questions to ask as far as does that style translate into winning at the highest level in college basketball these days? You know, because even Duke has kind of adjusted. North Carolina's kind of adjusted. Cal was kind of the last man standing with that philosophy. And if you listen to Matt Jones for Kentucky Sports Radio or any of their insiders, that was an issue. He wanted to do it his way, you know, period. I mean, because he's John Calipari. You know, it's always worked. So will it work at Arkansas? I think they're going to win signing days or signing periods and be real fired up and happy and have a lot of NBA draft picks. As far as winning goes, I don't know. I just the proof is kind of in the pudding when you watch the NCAA tournament as far as who is good and who kind of falls short in college basketball these days. And it's not always – you know, there's no the Fab Five is a thing of the past. I mean, it's not how it used to be.
It's 11:20. We need to step aside for a timeout. With the addition of Texas and Oklahoma coming to the league, what is Arkansas expecting? We'll talk about that when we return, including also we'll get to some Gamecock baseball. Again, victorious last night over the North Carolina Tar Heels up in Charlotte. We've got football on the docket, spring game right around the corner, 10 days away until they kick off under the lights at Williams-Brice Stadium once again this year. If you want to be able to watch the Masters on your back porch this week, have you seen the weather? Anybody check the weather? 75 and sunny, 80 and sunny. Yeah, it's going to be a special weekend here in the state of South Carolina. The rain comes through late tonight, early tomorrow. That's going to back them up a little bit. But then they'll play, and there will be a lot of golf to watch, the greatest golf event in the world. You can do it comfortably by going to Palm Casual. If you maybe you got some money back. It's tax season. Some people get some money back still. The rest of us, oh, the government, our left leg and right arm and the rest of it. But if you did get some money back and you're trying to figure out where to spend it, probably a good spot to do it. You can go to palmcasual.com and learn about their company that for over 30 years has been doing things the right way. Way over 30 years has been doing things the right way, as in 30-day guarantee. Like, you can have 29 parties and on the 30th day, take it back. That's literally what Aaron Beasley told me. He said, party on it for 29 days. If you don't like it, we'll cut you a check. If there's a problem with it, whatever it is, they actually guarantee their work there. They don't tell you that and then lie to you, and then you bring it back, and then you got a problem, and they won't give you – no, they don't do all that. They don't play games. How do you think they've built this business? 4 locations in South Carolina, serving all of South Carolina. And once again, it's a theme, Gamecock-owned and operated. Why wouldn't you spend your money with a Gamecock like Aaron Beasley and his team? PalmCasual.com. Mike Morgan, J.C. Sherbert, and Mad Dog Mustache Mullinax, and myself – we'll return in a moment.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10. Pitches it to Brewer, turns to Cody, touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence, the website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cocks.
Jones will be on the mound in Gainesville on Friday night against the Florida Gators, who were embarrassed last night, like thoroughly embarrassed by their rivals, Florida
State. It's the second time they've lost to Florida State.
And you know what? They'll turn around and win the series this weekend. Florida State gets thumped during the midweek, and then they win on the weekends. Of course, they did get swept in Missouri last weekend.
Well, that's the one you're – This is a caged animal opponent, an offshoot of JC's caged animal syndrome higher. This is a caged animal opponent right now. You get swept at Missouri. You get blasted by your in-state rival. They've been losing midweek games all year long. So this is a put-up-or-shut-up series for Florida. You're going to see the best that they have to offer. I don't know how good that is. They're 13th in hitting. I've never seen a Sully team with a staff ERA in conference play of over five, which is what they have right now. But yeah, I think it's a fascinating series for a couple of 6-6 teams in league play.
Yeah, it's something. There's no doubt. So let me ask you this real quick on the Cal thing, Arkansas, and we'll come back to baseball. Like you're in Fayetteville all the time. I'm a big fan of Arkansas's fan base. I compare them really to South Carolina, a bunch of blue collar people. That, yeah, there's some big money over there, but 99.5% or more of that fan base they're just blue collar folks that love the Razorbacks.
That's right.
And you got Oklahoma, you got Texas coming into the league. It's going to be a 1-16 league. Arkansas has not won the league since like 1995. So you're talking about 30 years since they've won the SEC. You think that's what they're expecting by hiring Calipari, to win the league?
Yes. Remember, people forget this. Before Muss, they went over 20 years without making the Sweet 16. Not the Final Four. Not a national championship. The Sweet 16. The recruiting for Nolan completely dropped off, and people started criticizing him, and then Nolan took it personally and had his meltdown conference, which, when that happened, it was just sad for me to see, because I really was a fan of Nolan, and I have a lot of respect for Nolan, the individual. But when he went down the way he did, I was just like, no, don't, Nolan, stop. Just stop. Take the L. Take some personal responsibility. You get all the credit for the national championship. The blame belongs to you as well. Mm-hmm. Then they hire Stan Heath. Just brutal. John Pelfrey didn't work. Mike Anderson didn't work. And then this is an outside the box hire. Like, it's easy to look at it now and go, oh yeah, of course you hire Musselman. Well, he was at Nevada and he was at the G League, the CBA. I mean, he coached everywhere. He's like 27 different things stamped on his coaching passport. And it worked. And it worked really quickly. And he brought Arkansas basketball back. So if you were to take Musselman's success out, like, Cal could probably do no wrong. But he's following a guy that was very successful. And I would also add, much like Cal, he has the gift of charisma. Yeah, you know, he and his wife became rock stars in Fayetteville. They were very well known. They were beloved. They fit in that community extremely well. Those are some of the strengths that Cal has. Well, Musselman had it too. So you had the charisma, you had the winning, you had the recruiting, you had the exposure, you had everything with Mus. So it set a high bar again with Arkansas basketball. And you're right. That is outside of Springfield, which is the haughty-toughty part of Arkansas, swanky shops and malls and a lot of money. And you've got Tyson and you've got J.B. Hunt and you got Walmart, obviously. But for the most part, yeah, it's a very blue-collar state, and they own the state. They're one of those like Louisiana and I would say Georgia, all due respect to Tech. They own the entire state in terms of fans. And they set their watch to Arkansas everything, football, basketball, baseball. And lately, the only thing they've had success in is baseball, football, and other than 3 great years under Muss, basketball had been a classic underachiever for 25 years.
Yeah, they're obviously going to be good in basketball. Calipari is going to bring in players like they're going to be good, and they've got the best baseball program. I think they haven't won a national championship. But they got the best baseball program right now in the country, if you ask me. It's the most consistent in the best league in the nation, but they haven't won a title, Mike. So
no better coach in college baseball than Dave Van Horn. And that's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of coaches when I talk to them.
Or more respected.
And yet, you're right. He does not have a title. That's how hard it is. That's how random it can be. Now, he's got a team that's just absolutely has title written all over it, just like the team a couple years ago with Kevin Copps and those guys. And I had them in the Super where they had their hearts broken in half by NC State. And they were number one in every poll for months. That was the team. And they lost in game 3. I forget Torres, the shortstop, hit the home run. And you went from 12,000 screaming fans to hearing a friggin' pin drop at Baum Stadium, which for my money is the nicest ballpark in college baseball.
It's also the ballpark where an Arkansas fan threw popcorn on Reese Havens, and Coach Tanner told him not to do anything about it until he promptly filled up a cup of water and threw it in the guy's face. And then I won't tell the rest.
Well, Kornblut still gives me a hard time whenever I'm on his show. He remembers listening. It's kind of funny. Like, people just remember listening to certain moments on the radio when you're calling the games. JC brings up like the 2001 Stanford Super Regional and the Miami Miracle. I think there were only 6,000 people that could fit in the Sarge, but I've probably had more than that tell me they remember when they were, where they were when they heard the call of the Miracle ninth inning. But we were doing a game at Arkansas circa, might have been 02, and Carolina, nothing ever went right in Arkansas, ever. The travel was always clunky because you'd bus to Charlotte, take an American Airlines flight. That's always an adventure. Into Fayetteville, then the drive, the 40 minutes through the John Cougar Mellencamp video. And then there's usually a rainstorm, a hailstorm, or some awful weather waiting on you when you get there. And Carolina struggled to beat Arkansas. In fact, that 2000 team only lost one series all year. It was 2 out of 3 to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So I'm there, and the booth at Baum Stadium, you know, we don't have an engineer for baseball. So I would set up the equipment, and I would put the crowd mic right outside the press window, the little broadcast booth window. Do this everywhere. Never had a problem. But that microphone was right above one of the suites for Arkansas fans. Well, they had been drinking, I don't know, for about 12 consecutive days and were blitzed. And they're saying a lot of profane things that are going on the crowd mic. So I'm getting text messages. Mike, can we do something about those fans in front of you that are saying things that I wouldn't have a sailor say, or Lou Gossett Jr., may he rest in peace, an officer and a gentleman. He wouldn't even say these things to Mayo. And I kindly, respectfully asked them, hey, guys, could you, you're at a 10. Could you put it at a 7? It's like, this is going over the air. We got women and children listening. And, yeah, man. Well, they didn't stop. And meanwhile, Arkansas gets out to a big lead, and they are just kind of being obnoxious. So I think it was maybe Yerone Peters hit a huge home run that wound up being the game winner. And I said, and I don't know where this came from. I called the home run, and I wanted to make sure the fans in front of me could hear that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Arkansas. The Kornblut heard that live and still kids me about that 20 years later today. I don't think I've ever uttered that statement again, certainly not on the air, but it just seemed appropriate at the time. And those fine gentlemen didn't have another word to say the rest of the evening.
God bless Arkansas.
The God great bless Arkansas. Put that again, in your pipe and smoke it.
Put that in your pipe and smoke. Again, great, 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 great fans. But every
they do great, have great fans.
Super. But every
great I like fan their fans.
I love their fans. I the days when Arkansas and South Carolina were cross division, permanent cross division rivals in the league. It was always a joy when the Razorbacks would come to town because they brought a great group of people with them. It wasn't Georgia where, you know, they bark at you and try to steal your women at the same time. And, you know, what Florida, no offense, Mike, but when Florida where, you know, they chop in your face and then, you know, their jorts are halfway down their shit.
Lately it's been a lot more people chomping in their face. I'm gonna use a quote from a dimer, Wall Street, and it's Daryl Hannah preaching to Charlie Sheen about why she still has a relationship with Gordon Gekko, and even though Charlie's like, you know, this is a bad man, and she says, "Look, I would be nowhere without Gordon Gekko," and she says, and I quote, "You'll find, Bud Fox, having money and losing it is a lot harder than never having it at all." How do I make the analogy to Arkansas? You got to remember, because whenever I'm there, I see, you know, the pictures of the 1960 national championship team. I see the Southwest Conference titles. I see, Brile, help me out, former coach, legendary coach.
Broyles.
Broyles. I'm thinking of Art Broyles.
Broyles.
Broyles and you know, Lou Holtz, and they have a ridiculous tradition, mm-hmm. right? Like Arkansas knows what it's like to be at the top of the mountain in football. And then you look at it, they're just kind of dropped into the SEC, and they're way out there geographically. Now, of course, we have Missouri, so they're no longer the farthest team in the middle of nowhere. And so it takes a while to kind of like, do we really belong here? We life was pretty good to us in the Southwest Conference. And since then, you know, they've had some, they had Petrino, they had some blips. But other than that, honestly, they haven't been anything remotely like they used to be. That's different than like what Carolina football is going through. Carolina football's had 100 years of it. Right. Carolina football hasn't had a national championship. Right. So, I mean, it's like it sucks. You want to have some great years. And thankfully, Spurrier brought you some. And Lou had a blip and Morrison had a blip. But, you know, the hope is that eventually you get out of this tier two, tier three, whatever you want to call it now that it's a 16 team league and you want to get to the top. But you understand what it's like to strive for 8 wins and that being a good season. Arkansas, if you're old enough, you're like, wait a minute now. The hell with 8 wins. We used to be playing for national championships. What's right. happened? And so it's really hard for a good portion of that fan base that's over the age of, I don't know, 40, to understand what the hell happened.
Carolina and Arkansas entered in 1992 at the same time. Who do y'all think has been the more successful overall athletic department?
Arkansas by a mile. I mean, they... national championships, no.
By a mile.
Look, they've won three SEC West in football. They've won a national championship in basketball, men's basketball in 94. Because I remember it was in Charlotte, yeah. They've been to Omaha a whole bunch of baseball and come very close to winning it in baseball. They're a track powerhouse. I don't know about women's basketball, but I would say it's close. I mean, it's not debatable, but I would give them the credit. But I also say this, they racked up a lot of that guys in the 90s, and South Carolina was god awful. Oh. You know, I mean, yeah. Carolina was building baseball was in transition from June Raines to Ray Tanner. Basketball had the blip on the radar under Fogler. That was it. Football was atrocious. And the Razorbacks came in with a little panache. I think the last Southwest Conference championship, there was a 5-way tie and they won a fifth of it. So, weird as that was. So
if it's 2000 on JC, it's Carolina. That's a great point.
Yeah, you have to say that.
You put that line in the sand. But if you include the 90s, then I would say advantage Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas had seven losing seasons since 2012 in football. Seven.
Yeah, no, they've fallen off.
Football in Carolina's. Yeah, like they won the division in 2003. They won it in 06. The West used to rotate. It was kind of they called it the Wild Wild West. Auburn would win it. Mississippi State won it 1 year. Arkansas would win it 1 year. LSU, until Saban got there, did not win it. But then and Alabama would go up and down. But once Saban got to Bama, Arkansas didn't even sniff. I mean, they had the good years under Petrino where they went to the Sugar Bowl, but they weren't even in the division hunt. Houston Nutt won 2 divisions, and Danny Ford actually won one, and they didn't compete anytime they got to Atlanta. So I mean, I think, you know, the last one they won was in 06 where they played Urban Meyer's first Florida national championship team and lost. And they haven't really been back. You know, fired Houston Nutt, and really since then football has not, they've had some blips on the radar here and there.
To offset all this, I don't think it's Arkansas by a mile. First of all, if it's been since 2000, that's 24 years. There was only 8 years in the 90s. So, I mean, yeah. If that favors Carolina, but you talk about women's basketball. Okay, well, that's a no-brainer. You talk about baseball. As good as Arkansas has been, they don't have a title. And the Gamecocks have a pair of national championships in addition to the SEC titles and the Eastern Division titles and all that. So that tips to South Carolina. You know, you men's basketball obviously tips to Arkansas. And then football, I be honest with you, I know they've got those three division titles. They won, I think the last one was 06 with Houston Nutt. Carolina's only got one, so it's a slight edge to Arkansas. I don't know. It's probably pretty even, guys.
Yeah, I mean, football has...
I'd say the last...
Go ahead.
Well, Spurrier got to South Carolina around the same time Nutt. I think Nutt and Spurrier overlapped by about 2-3 years. And yeah. You can trace the decline of Arkansas back to getting rid of Houston Nutt, which that was debatable whether or not they should have done it. Because then Petrino comes in and it's a mess. John L. Smith took that program for a year, was a disaster. Brett Bielema was not in the right conference. And now you got Pittman and all of a sudden, I forgot about Chad Morris. You know, and then
they'd like to as Pittman. Well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, well, yeah.
Bobby was winning games.
Yeah. I was going to say, we glossed over neck brace.
Yeah, like, Bobby won 21 games in 2 years.
Before Bobby fell in love, and some people would say something is undefeated. I always say it's not undefeated, but it's got a pretty good winning percentage. Before Bobby fell in love with the wrong person and decided to go for a little afternoon stroll on the old Harley and showed up at a press conference in a neck brace, if you could remove that from Arkansas history... We can all laugh about it now. They ain't laughing at Fayetteville.
Oh, God, that was funny.
he
walked out on the phone.
Priceless. Walks out with a head brace like, you know, I saw a snake in the road. And, you know, it can happen to anybody. I lost
my balance. What are we watching here? What is this guy doing?
I mean, we glossed over it, but they are too. I mean, he's back.
Well, that's right. No, I mean.
And he's going to be their head coach in 25, everybody.
This is the definition of time heals all wounds.
Jamie, you're wrong. He's going to be the head coach in week 5.
Right.
I don't think that Sam the man is going to last, quite honestly. I think Petrino is peering over his shoulder and is ready. And I mean, I was down there as recently as March, and that's all the talk. Just how long does it take before we get our Petrino back? And for as heavily flawed as he may be, and he certainly has lost some of his luster. I mean, he didn't exactly have a renaissance as the OC at Texas A&M last year. But people still hearken back to those days, and they remember those 21 wins or whatever it was in 2 years. And they remember high-flying offenses, and they remember just the buzz in the air about Arkansas football that, for the most part, for the other 20-something years, hasn't been there.
No. Yeah. They were really good.
No, they're not going to recreate that. I mean, maybe you look at it like, well, the transfer portal can go, you know, because he's not a recruiter. He's not. He ain't going to go sign a bunch of – and there's going to be good players that leave that state, what few they have, with him as the head coach. He just doesn't have the personality for it. So maybe they're thinking he can transfer portal it up and restock every year. But I'll remind everyone how this ended at Louisville with him. You coach a Heisman winner. 2 years later, you're getting beat by Clemson at Death Valley by 77 points. That's how bad they were. You know why? Because they didn't have any talent. Mm-hmm. He took over, had Charlie Strong's players. Then by the time his players cycled through, they were Southern Conference bad. You know, so these are, I mean, I don't know what the thought process out there in pig heaven, but it's a different world now. It's not coming back. And I can excuse his year at A&M last year because Jimbo Fisher handed him Jimbo Fisher's playbook and said, call these plays. That's impossible. I mean, you're Bobby Petrino. You're calling Bobby Petrino's plays, right? And I think he's a gifted play caller. Don't get me wrong. But the talent level at Arkansas is just not there, and then they've had so much transition under Pittman as it is. I mean, they're a program that loses about 10-15 out of the two deep, every single year to the portal, and then they go replenish it with 10, 15 out of the portal. And so unless they think they're just going to sell out, I can't see Petrino winning there.
You know this as well as anybody, JC. Their secret formula, if you will, it wasn't really a secret, but their sweet spot was, because Arkansas does not produce enough talent, yeah, but we can get some Oklahoma kids and some Texas kids to round it out, and that'll be good enough. Well, now you've got Oklahoma, Texas, yeah. Texas A&M, and the SEC. So you are in a true recruiting quandary if you are Arkansas, and that's the biggest problem there. They never have the athletes on defense to be competitive in that division, and now the conference as a whole. They don't have the athletes. I'm not saying all those coaching hires were grand slams, but I just don't think Arkansas has the players to really get to the next level. And, you know, when you think about it, the same could be true. And it's interesting. We're kind of doing this parallel. I didn't have it on my bingo card, but I kind of like it. If you were to say, what's the biggest problem with Carolina football? I mean, fans will rush to message boards and blame every coach and fire every coach. Fact of the matter is, when I look at it, again, from 10,000 feet above, I see a team that more often when they lose, they're losing to a more talented team. They're not losing because they got out-schemed in all these games. That you'd like to think that, and then that way you just fire the problem and then bring in a new coach, problem solved. It's not that ain't easy. Look where South Carolina ranks every year in recruiting and look at the teams ahead of them from the SEC. And now you add the portal to the mix. So, and now you have no divisions. So as we've said a number of times, 8-4, which is a great year in the history of Gamecock football. 8-4 is pretty damn good. 8-4 now could wind up being 9th place in your conference. Doesn't have the same, you know, warm and fuzzy feeling as it does when you're looking up and going, we finished second in the East. That's pretty cool. No, you finished 8th or 9th overall. Just one man's opinion. I think when I look at the problems of most programs that are kind of stuck in that proverbial middle, it's not because they keep hiring their own coaches. It's primarily based on talent acquisition. And even when the talent acquisition is good, you measure it by, well, how much better or worse is it to the teams you got to play every year within your own conference? And that therein lies the problem for most SEC teams that can't get to that next level.
I see depth too. Like, okay, you're not going to have the depth to compete. I mean, even if you do recruit quite well. And I think that's why the transfer portal is a net positive for South Carolina. If you notice, about 17 guys left that were never going to play. Well, they brought in about 17 that are. That's a recruiting mistake eraser, and what that does impact is your depth. To where if you have injuries, you have a guy that's at least competent, that's not just a stiff in a uniform going out there and playing. I think that's the problem with just about every SEC team outside of like LSU, Georgia, Bama, Texas maybe, is depth. You just can't. It's just hard. It's hard to sustain stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm with you, Mike. And I think Arkansas, you know, they don't even have the in-state talent base South Carolina does.
No, they don't.
That state is only above Kentucky as far as the number of talented, like blue chip, power five level guys that come out of Arkansas is about 8 to 10. Kentucky's last about 4 to 6 on average, sometimes less. So they have to go into Texas. They have to go out of state. When they were the Oklahoma of the Southwest Conference and the bright, beautiful, renegade, out-of-state program that could go in there and beat Texas on guys, they were a national power. But those days are long gone. They've been in the SEC 30-something years, and they're not as popular as an LSU or a Bama or an Oklahoma within the state of Texas. Heck, they're not even as popular as an Oklahoma State half the time. So there's problems out there. There are problems out there.
Yeah, and also too, like you notice one of the conversations we don't have anymore or as much, Mike. It was a very relevant conversation when you were the voice of the Gamecocks. Facilities, you'd be hard pressed to really go around the SEC and find collectively a better group of facilities than what they have at the University of Arkansas. They're special. I mean, Razorback Stadium, Baum, as you mentioned, I think I'm with you on that. I think Baum is personally second in the country now to Mississippi State, but whatever, it's one or two. Who cares?
1A, 1B. Yeah.
And then obviously Bud Walton. I mean, if back in the day, it was we have to continue to build better facilities to attract better talent and give our fans a better experience. And that's still part of it. You want to upgrade and keep fans coming to games. I get that. But there was a time when the pitch was to the athlete as well. That's not even the case anymore.
No, Carolina solved that problem in spades. Like, Carolina does not have to apologize for anything in the facilities for the big three, football, basketball, baseball. I can't tell you what the tennis setup looks like or the equestrian.
Pretty nice. It's where the Sarge used to be.
I'll take your word for it. But in the sports that draw the most, football, basketball, baseball, Carolina does not have – I've seen every one of them dozens of times. Gamecocks are very competitive in facilities, very competitive in fan support, very competitive in a lot of things. But there are some obstacles that we all know what they are. I mean, we just talked about one. History is not on the side of Carolina overall. If you're stacking it up to the other programs that you're going up against every year. So there are some obstacles. There are some strengths. Every program has those. You try to play on your strengths, you try to overcome your obstacles, and you do your best with what you have. But I'll make no mistake about it. The strides in the facilities the last 10 years or so, remarkable. I remember like just how awful a lot of them were. I mean, they were honestly, it was almost embarrassing. It was almost embarrassing. And I can tell you coaches would tell me this.
Sure.
And confidence. Like, this is embarrassing that we have to use this, and we got to recruit kids, and this is what we're showing them. Yeah. But that's not the issue anymore.
No, no, it is not.
Mike McGee was not a facilities guy at all.
No.
I mean, he really good at – that's where people kind of get off track, because he set this unrealistic expectation of coaching hires around here, because he would swing for the fences and landed his share. But facilities when Eric Hyman took over were an absolute disaster, and the whole university's come a million miles the last 24 years. I mean, but that's one thing that has changed quite a bit for the positive around Carolina. It looks first class now. Looks first class.
We are out of time in hour number one. Good news, though. You get two more hours of us. We hope you'll spend your lunch hour with us. Maybe you're headed to D's Wings.
Burritos
for lunch. So if you are, you can pull us up right there, Chief Sports app. You can watch us while you're eating your chicken wings or dipping your chips and cheese dip and salsa.
Your tacos, your guacamole, your queso. Yeah.
Do y'all dip tacos? If you have a good soft taco, do you dip it in your queso or do you put queso on top?
I dip it in my salsa. I'm not a queso guy, but I love
it.
I will eat almost any salsa that exists. Salsa verde, red, mild, hot, jalapeno. I've had pineapple salsa. Love them all. So, I'm a salsa fanatic. And guac. Both. Yeah.
Good guac.
They got fresh guac at Salsarita's. I'll put those on the tacos. Dip it in the salsa. Dip. Yeah.
I'm with
not
you.
Not a guac good, guy. I love guac. Salsa.
Love guac. Love my salsa, wife makes queso. Killer guacamole.
If she makes good guac, she's a keeper.
She does. She puts little dices up tomatoes too. They're in there.
Yes.
Good call. Nice and salty. It's perfect.
You married the right woman. I think that's confirmation right there.
That's what she told me.
Now, whether or not she married the right man, that's another story. Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Story for another show.
I tell her all the time, like, you got all this. She's like, I know.
You got all yours, baby.
You get all
huh? yours. You know what I'm saying?
All right. We'll turn our attention to the SEC. Big night for the Gamecocks. Pretty poor night elsewhere in the league.
Are we doing the Love Chevy drive on the SEC, or are we waiting? Are we doing it at all? I've got it on the ready if you want it. If not, it's okay. I can put it in the hopper.
You have baseball as part of your Love Chevy drive?
I sure do, yeah.
Well, I tell you what. Tee it up, Mad Dog. We'll crank up the Yeah, we'll crank up to 2,500 and take a stroll when we return on ITT.
We need more gigawatts.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia. Yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in southern soil, are crafted by southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Door Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, you know, the heart issue that, but, you know, ultimately let a Big Ten stop. He originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we give 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington in the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium and the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arenas. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chiefs Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chiefs Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.